Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
So this is all quite fluid. Even since I walked out of my office into my studio, which is a 10-second walk, there has been other news that is breaking. So the situation very clearly is fluid. 1-800-636-8686. Yesterday was a very surreal day. And as the day went on, it only got more and more surreal. It was less than 24 hours ago that the Golden State Warriors announced that they'd be playing their game this evening without fans. Normally, that in and of itself would be an enormous story, a massive story. Then you had the announcement from the NCAA that the NCAA tournament games would also be played without fans. Ordinarily, that would be a massive story that would take up the entire 3 hours of the program. And I will get into more of that a little bit later on. But even that was overshadowed by what happened a few hours after the fact. Because what happened last night was unlike anything anybody has ever seen before. The Utah Jazz and Oklahoma City Thunder were supposed to play in OKC last night. Earlier in the day, it had been reported that Rudy Gobert might miss that game due to illness. Then his status was unclear. And then before the game, that's when the weirdness really started. According to Royce Young, Gobert did not come to the arena last night. He was tested before the game, and if he was cleared, he would have played. At one point, Chris Paul walked over to the Utah bench. He appeared to ask about Gobert and where he was. Then just before the opening tip, around the time Zombie Nation finished playing, Young tweeted the following. Quote, something is going on here. Thunderhead medical staffer Donnie Strack just grabbed the three officials and told them something. All players were just told to go back to their bench. We're seconds from tip-off. End quote. So the starting lineups had already been announced, but everybody waited while Strack spoke with the three officials, and then OK assistant GM Rob Hennigan soon joined him. Then the officials meet with Quinn Snyder and Billy Donovan. Then Zombie Nation is played for a second time. At that point, the players were told to leave the court, and then the officials left. And as if it wasn't already surreal enough, Rumble, the Thunder mascot, came out and started shooting half-court shots backwards. Then the Thunder used their halftime entertainment to stall for even more time. T-shirts were thrown into the stands, and then the public address announcer made a statement.
Fans, due to unforeseen circumstances, the game tonight has been postponed. You are all safe. And take your time in leaving the arena tonight and do so in an orderly fashion. Thank you for coming out tonight. We are all safe. And you can visit OKCThunder.com for updates on upcoming games. Please drive home safely. Good night, fans.
So the game was postponed. And again, there was every expectation that there would be a game. 18,000 people expecting a game. The game was postponed. And then at that point, you knew something was happening. And it was really strange. If you were watching the Nuggets-Mavericks game at that point, there was a feeling that that might be the last NBA basketball you'd see for a while. And then within a matter of moments, the following happened. Tom Hanks issued a statement that he and his wife, Rita Wilson, had tested positive for coronavirus in Australia. Rudy Gobert tested positive for coronavirus. The NBA season was suspended. So one holy bleep moment right after another, and they all came in quick succession. America's most beloved actor and an NBA All-Star both test positive. The NBA suspends its season until further noticed, and it happened immediately. The time lapse from Gobert testing positive to the season being suspended was minutes. It was so few minutes that it was only a few hundred seconds. It was that fast. Because that was the plan. If a player tests positive, you have to pause the season. You absolutely have to. They had no choice. It's the right thing to do because that's the nightmare scenario that everybody had feared. You can't allow it to linger at that point. You have to act swiftly. One infected player could in turn infect numerous other players because of the physical contact that comes along with basketball. And then you have to start retracing Gobert's steps. Where did he go recently? Who did he play against recently? Who were the players he had contact with? And who did those players have contact with? That's why, according to Brian Windhorst, players from teams who had faced the Jazz in the last 10 days are being told to self-quarantine. And during that time, Utah played Cleveland, New York, Boston, Detroit, and Toronto. And that's before we even get to the fact that teams share planes at times. And there were reports that other teams had used the same plane that the Utah Jazz had used in recent days. So that's why you have to shut down the league immediately. This is why you cannot mess around with this at all. The Jazz and the Thunder were immediately sent to their locker rooms, effectively in lockdown. The door to the hallway to their locker rooms was shut with nobody allowed in or out. And according to Royce Young, the OKC players were given fever tests and told to self-quarantine for 24 hours and report any symptoms. The Jazz, meanwhile, remained in quarantine in their locker room for hours after that game was called, sitting at their lockers, wearing masks and gloves, waiting to be tested. According to reports, around 11 p.m. local time, a team of health officials entered the Utah locker room. Since the Utah players had been in close contact with Gobert, they would have to be quarantined. You can't continue this season without the Utah Jazz and the teams that the Jazz have played recently. Playing for the next 2 weeks. The risk is too great. The reward is too little. And again, all of this was playing out with the Nuggets and the Mavericks still playing. And then the plan was for the Pelicans and the Kings to play later in the night. The Nuggets and Mavericks continued their game, but in Sacramento, a few Pelicans players took the floor. Quote, "Our guys don't want to play," a source told The Athletic. That makes sense, right? If I was starting in a game or playing in a game that was starting later, I wouldn't want to either. One, because the league had already been suspended. Two, because one of the officials scheduled to work last night's Pelicans-Kings game had worked a Utah game earlier in the week. So, of course, postponing that game was the right call. Let's talk about Rudy Gobert for a moment. It's not clear how or when he was infected. But that moment from Monday when he jokingly put his hands on every microphone and recorder that the media put in front of him doesn't seem that funny now, does it? Truth is, it really wasn't funny then. And now it seems pretty idiotic right now. And I say that as somebody who has a ton of respect for Rudy Gobert, as a player and as a person. But that moment looks less and less humorous as time goes by. I'm not saying that's when he got it. I'm not saying that he transmitted it to anybody else in that moment. What I'm saying is there is nothing less amusing than a coronavirus joke. And that's why none of you better try to get up in here with that. And you know something else? It's even less amusing when you see the report from Woj this morning that Gobert's teammate Donovan Mitchell has also tested positive. This is really serious stuff. So serious that two players, two stars, have tested positive. Players are in quarantine. The league is now suspended. That's how serious this is. That's how surreal this entire thing is. He is Howard Beck. Howard, I really appreciate you coming back. How are you?
Doing okay, Romy. How are you? Strange days.
Strange days, Howard. I'm good, too. You've been around the league for a long, long time. I have never seen anything, Howard, quite like the last 24 hours. So what kind of thoughts and emotions have you had over the past night and day?
Yeah, I mean, it's not even obviously just what we've seen in the NBA or in sports. It's like in the world, like you, in our lifetimes, Jim, you and I have never seen anything like this, period. It's dizzying. And yesterday in particular, I saw somebody tweet out like the list of everything that happened over about a 5-hour span yesterday.
Right.
Cancellations. And then the Warriors are going to play with no fans. And then this, all the way through Rudy Gobert. And then a Kings-Pelicans game that was supposed to go off and then got canceled. Like, I don't know why they didn't just cancel it in the first place. We're all just going minute to minute here, including the league, including the NBA, including everyone in sports. And so never seen anything like it. Still dizzy over all of it. Still trying to grasp, you know, where we are, where this is headed. There are way more questions than answers right now where it regards the NBA and what comes next. The Board of Governors were supposed to meet by conference call starting at about 12:30. That's been postponed a couple hours. I guess they're still just trying to gather all the information and get everybody, you know, coordinated. I don't know where that meeting is going to lead us. That is my biggest curiosity right now. What will the 30 owners or 30 team representatives and league officials decide today about the path forward? Can they even set a path forward? Or is this all just living day to day and trying to map out how to handle it once this crisis has subsided? And this is a crisis that, of course, goes way beyond the NBA. And so, you know, they can make all the plans they want for how they might resume in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. It may all be irrelevant because the greater issue is still this still spreading pandemic that we can't possibly anticipate where it will be in 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. So I do not envy any of these folks who are trying to figure out how to operate in a time like this. But maybe we'll get some answers by the end of the day about at least what the NBA thinks it might be able to do.
Well said. Howard Beck is a senior NBA writer at Bleacher Report, host of the Full 48 podcast. So, Howard, if we were to backtrack for just one moment, I'm going to follow up on what you said momentarily. But if we were to go back to the start of the Utah-OKC game last night, a member of the Thunder medical staff reportedly rushed to the court, spoke to the officials, who spoke to the head coaches, and then the players left the court. And then a few minutes later, we get the news that Rudy Gobert had tested positive for coronavirus. What was your reaction when that happened?
You know, I was watching this unfold initially on Twitter, like a lot of people, and from home here in New York. And then when that news dropped, it was one of these things where it was like stunning, but not surprising. Stunning because, oh my God, here we are. We're at this moment. It's happened. Everything, this is going to set off a whole chain of events, and you know exactly where that was going to lead. So stunning but not surprising because this seemed inevitable, Jim. The NBA was still playing games. They were still playing games in packed arenas. People were, you know, treating this in a variety of ways, right? Some people very cautiously, conservatively, others maybe more cavalierly. And, of course, there have been reports already and, you know, video of Rudy Gobert being a bit cavalier about this. And this is not to demonize him, but it is a lesson to everyone that when public health officials and scientists and medical professionals are telling you this is serious, these are the steps you should take, this is how careful you should be, people should heed that. And if anybody is telling you otherwise, and I'm not going to go down the political tangent here, but if anyone's telling you otherwise, don't listen to those people. Listen to the experts. Follow their advice. We all probably have been too cavalier about this. I was at the MIT Sloan Conference in Boston last weekend. A conference of analytics experts, people who are some of the smartest people about probabilities and risk and statistics that you can find. And we were all sitting there in a convention center in Boston as if things were normal, and things were not. And maybe we shouldn't have been there, and maybe the conference shouldn't have gone on. We are all still, as a society, of course, trying to grapple with this, but last night it was inevitable as long as the NBA was acting as if things were business as usual.
We're talking to Howard Beck. You and I are on the exact same page on this, Howard. Now, is there any doubt in your mind? I'll just pose the question. I already know the answer. Is there any doubt in your mind that the league made the right decision by suspending the season?
They had no choice.
Right.
This is not even like a, you know, what do we do now? It's no, you have to shut it down because, speaking of the statistics and probabilities and just the risk factors, if one – and somebody had told me this like earlier in the week before this came about. They basically said if one player tests positive, it's going to end up shutting down the league because that one player means you now have to quarantine that team. And now you have to see who did they play recently. And now you're going to have to quarantine that team. And then who did that team – because this is all – you know, it's a chain of events. It's a chain of contact here. And then you have to consider the referees. And referee crews change game to game. So if you refereed a game with Rudy Gobert and now you are at risk and you didn't know you were, and two nights later you're refereeing with two other refs, and now you're potentially infecting them and then they're going off. Like, it just, this is how the virus transmits. This is why it has spread so quickly around the world and why we're still just at the tip of the iceberg here in the U.S. And so, no, like, there was no choice. Once a single player tested positive, the NBA was going to have to shut down indefinitely, and so that's where we are.
We're talking to Howard Beck, and Howard, I've seen you write about this and written about it really well, that in a league of 30 teams spread across the country, there are not that many degrees of separation, and it does overlap quickly. Let me ask you this. Given that there are a limited number of tests available, and both Gobert and Mitchell have tested positive, is that a sign that they're the first players in the league with the virus, or is that a sign that they're the first to test positive?
Great question. It's probably a sign that they're simply the first to test positive. There are 450 range. You know, 450 is the maximum number of players there could be at any given time in the league. How many of them have been tested? How many of them could still be carrying it that we don't know of yet? I would just guess, based on the probabilities, that, yeah, there's probably a few others. There almost have to be, right? How many of them are getting tested now? The league clearly has some resources in this regard and some pull because, you know, teams are getting tested. And obviously we know that this is a story in the country right now, that there have not been enough tests available in general. I don't know anything beyond that or how they're, you know, how many tests the NBA has access to or how many people have been tested. And not just the players too, by the way. You start with the 440 or something players, but then, you know, coaches and trainers and equipment managers and everybody who's come in contact with them all have to be cautious. The real answer is everybody, and I know this is going on, teams are self-quarantining based solely on serial contact right now. And no, they're not all getting tested. They just know that I was in an arena with this team at this time, and we now know, you know, there's enough, you know, chain of events here or enough serial contact that the smart thing to do, or at least the prudent thing to do, is to simply self-quarantine. And so I know that there are teams that are already doing that.
We're talking to Howard Beck. Howard, does it seem to you that it's a suspended season, or does it feel like it's going to be a canceled season?
Yeah, among the many, many questions that there is no obvious answer to, and we can only guess. And because, again, this is out of the NBA's hands now, I think, you know, let's make an assumption that whenever this thing spikes, wherever the peak point of coronavirus spread is, let's say it happens in the next couple of weeks and then there's a decline, assuming that happens. If this thing is under control a month from now, could you resume the season then, skip straight to the playoffs, which I think is the most logical thing? Like, trying to recoup all these lost games doesn't make sense. Freeze the standings where they are last night, play the playoffs based on those standings, because the playoffs would begin about a month from now anyway. Maybe things are in an okay place a month from now. And if so, then you start up with the playoffs and you pick up where you left off in terms of just the league calendar, and you don't disrupt anything else. This idea that Mark Cuban floated of playing into August, I think, has a number of problems with it. And I would guess that that's not what's going to happen, but we'll see what the league ultimately decides. But everything, all of these scenarios, all these possible ways they could handle this, they're all dependent upon whether or not we as a country and the rest of the world, but especially in this country, can get this thing under control first, so that it's actually safe to have mass gatherings again and to have travel again at the extent that the NBA does.
Howard Beck is joining us for a few more moments. So, Howard, if you were to go back to early October, when there was the controversy over human rights in China, the passing of David Stern, the death of Kobe, Gianna, their teammates and families in that helicopter crash, now the suspension of the season, it has been a six-month stretch unlike any other. What do you make of how Adam Silver has handled all of this?
Oh, man. China was its own difficult mess, and I think that was a mixed bag for the league at that moment, and the way Adam Silver handled it. I don't want to get further into that one because it's too complex. You know, the deaths of Kobe Bryant and David Stern, you know, there's only a human reaction there. There's no other there's nothing else to judge based on that. And then this, you know, the league is in uncharted territory. We all are. And, you know, it's been an incredibly difficult year for the NBA, or difficult season for all those events. This one, I don't know how we're going to view it weeks from now, months from now, and you know, the best assessment of history and judgments made in the moment is to wait until later. But at the moment, it does feel like maybe the NBA was too slow to move. I will say that right now. It feels to me like at least emptying out arenas and playing without fans maybe is something that they could have, a decision they could have reached before we got to this point. And maybe it wouldn't have mattered, because maybe Rudy Gobert was still going to end up getting the virus and they still would have ended up shutting down. But how many people have been, you know, potentially exposed in the meantime, and all the untold fans who might have been infected and going to games and potentially exposing people around them. But again, it's not just the NBA. It's all the other sports leagues. It's concert promoters. It's everybody who was staging any kind of mass event for the last couple of weeks. And again, you know, if we had better leadership in this country, then maybe people would have been more guarded and cautious about the way we were going to proceed. Instead, we had too many influential voices saying this is not a big deal, when in fact it's a very big deal.
It's a very big deal. Senior NBA writer at Bleacher Report, host of the Full 48 podcast, Howard Beck, making himself available once again here in the jungle. Howard, extremely well done. I really appreciate you and your thoughts, and thanks so much for helping to elevate this conversation.
Appreciate you, Romy. Be well.
Once again, if just now joining us, the Power Five conferences have canceled their men's basketball tournaments because of the coronavirus. SEC, ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12. The Big East has not, as of now. And I'm not sure why that is. So in light of the announcements of sporting events being played without fans, and the NBA announcing that they're suspending the season, but now all these other announcements as well, the conference tournaments being shut down. Let me ask you once again, do you still think it's a hoax? Do you still think this is just a media hype job? I wish it was. I really, really wish it was. I wish this was nothing more than a hoax. I wish it was a hype job, but obviously it's not. And as I mentioned last night, it was very surreal. And then last night was the moment where it became real. It became real, and it was declared a global pandemic earlier in the day. But last night, though, felt like the moment that it became really real for a lot of folks. And not just because there won't be NBA games for a time. And for some reason, when Tom Hanks and Rudy Gobert tested positive in a matter of minutes, that's when it hit closer to home for people than when you hear about something being called a global pandemic. I mean, that should have woke everybody up when it was called a global pandemic. But seemingly it didn't. It wasn't until we heard about Tom Hanks and Rudy Gobert, and then the NBA is being suspended, and then players are being quarantined. That should be a sign this was not a hoax. Because the NBA is not suspending its season for a media hype job. The NBA would not suspend its season for a hoax. You think those teams are willing to give up millions of dollars every single night for no reason at all? Hell no. Not a chance. So that's why the NBA suspended the season. That's why it was 100% the right call. You absolutely had to do it. Once you have a player test positive, once you have patient zero, you have to take swift and aggressive action. So let me ask you this. Do you still think that it's just like the regular flu? Listen to the director of the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, who says it's 10 times more deadly than the flu, and it has the potential to spread rapidly. Like, I can't believe I have to say this, but if this virus is what health experts say, this is not political. It doesn't care who you voted for. It doesn't care what you tweet about. It does not discriminate. Now, as always, the reason I bring this up, I'm just a guy who hosts a sports talk show. I am not an expert. I don't know enough to know, and I don't know enough to make bold proclamations. But I do know that I'm taking precautions. I'm not being paranoid. I'm not being an alarmist. But I'm taking precautions. You want to minimize it because the mortality rate is the highest among senior citizens and those with compromised immune systems. Is that what some of you are doing? Or maybe you think you're all right. You're all right because you're not a senior citizen. You're all right because you don't have a compromised immune system. If you're taking that approach, you're kind of telling on yourself, right? Because you're saying, as long as it doesn't hurt me, I don't really care. So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. In fact, let me answer that with this. Do you know any senior citizens? Do you know anyone who has a compromised immune system? Do you know anybody who is battling or has battled a serious illness like cancer? Are you okay with them being at risk because you think it's no big deal? Are you okay with them being at risk because you feel like you're not at risk and therefore it's not a big deal? Seems to me it's a pretty big deal. So if you think that you're not vulnerable, that's fine. But instead of just thinking about yourself, think about the people you know. Think about the people who might be vulnerable. Think about them. And then think about what you can do to minimize the impact and minimize the spread. And the way you minimize the impact is that you take precautions and you take serious steps so the spread is controlled, so hospitals aren't overwhelmed, so those who do need care can get that care. Hopefully taking those steps now means it will not be as bad as it could be. That's why you take steps now. That's why it's good to be proactive in a situation like this rather than reactive. And again, that's not being paranoid. That's not being alarmist. Hopefully you don't get sick. Hopefully you don't need care. That's great. But follow the advice that you're hearing. Dig a little deeper and think about the people around you and how they might be impacted by what you do or what you don't do. Because as we've already seen in the last 24 hours, the ripples from this can be enormous socially, financially, personally. I'll give you an example. Suspending the NBA season doesn't just impact the players. It doesn't just impact us as fans. It has the potential to have a devastating impact on the people who work the games. Arena workers, for example, as Mark Cuban talked about last night.
Mark, this evening on ESPN, you mentioned something about your concern for some of the employees, the part-time people that work here. Could you reiterate that?
Yeah. You know, in talking to when some of the things were coming up that we might not play games, and this was yesterday, I reached out to the folks at the arena and our folks at the Mavs to find out, you know, what it would cost to financially support people who aren't going to be able to come to work. You know, they get paid by the hour, and this was their source of income. And so we'll do some things there. We may ask them to go do some volunteer work in exchange, but, you know, we've already started the process of having a program in place. And I don't have any details to give, but it's certainly something that's important to me.
Meanwhile, Charlotte Hornet, Cody Zeller tweeted, quote, "Absolutely. We all have fun playing and watching NBA games, but many of our hardworking hourly employees and support staff depend on wages from our home games. We're going to make sure that they're taken care of, even if I have to pay out of pocket to help out," end quote. So what I'm saying is there's this potential that life could be very different for a little while in a lot of ways. Colleges are shifting to online classes. There's the potential for school closures. Keep that in mind. It may not impact you, but it's probably going to impact somebody you know. And it'll hurt the most vulnerable the hardest. So is there someone that you can help? If you need help, who do you ask for help? The phrase, quote, "an abundance of caution" has been used a lot in the last 24 to 48 hours, and it will be continued to be used a lot in the coming days and the coming weeks. So do things out of an abundance of caution. Do things out of an abundance of care. And if you're not going to do it for yourself because you're not worried that it might affect you, maybe you do it for somebody else. Hopefully the steps that we all take today mean things will be easier tomorrow. My two cents. We are joined by Ice Cube. Cube, it's nice to have you back. How are you?
Man, Jim, you give me the best intros, man. I think I need to take you on tour, man. You can bring me out on stage.
Done, man. Done. Yeah.
Yeah. Appreciate it, though.
Yeah. I'm in. Anytime. You let me know when. You let me know where, Cube.
Yeah, man.
All right.
You sound good doing it.
I appreciate it. You earned it. So there's a lot to talk about today, and our initial plan had been to talk about the upcoming season and the fact that tickets go on sale tomorrow and the games are going to be broadcast on CBS. Out of an abundance of caution, you and the league developed potential plans to have games in an intimate, controlled environment in Los Angeles. Can you give me a sense? What kind of conversations have you and the rest of the league officials had over the past couple of days as it relates to the virus?
Well, we actually been talking for a few weeks. You know, we saw how this thing was moving, and we wanted to have a contingency plan in place. The Big Three was supposed to go to China in May. So being able not to go, we saw that, okay, this is a real issue and it could come to the United States. So we actually been planning for a couple of days, and we think we came up with a plan that works for the fans and definitely works for the league. The most important thing was to make sure that the season was not interrupted in any way. We will start June 20th. All games will be on CBS every Saturday. So it's a beautiful thing to know that we're going to play. Now what we did was we just saw games in a cool but controlled environment in Los Angeles and still put 40 games on sale, which is Memphis, New York, and Portland. Those had already did a pre-sale. We felt like if this thing blows over, it'll still be cool for us to go to some of our cities, you know, even though six of the weeks will be played in L.A. So we felt like this is the best of both worlds. This is the best scenario that works for the Big Three and the fans. If it blows over, we're going to be in four cities out of 10. If it don't, all 10 games will be in Los Angeles. So we're ready for anything, Jim.
We're talking to Cube. He is the co-founder of the Big Three League. He's laying it all out, and the season is going to take place the first week of the season on June 20th. It sounds as if you've been talking about this and making your plans. Cube, do you have any sense? I mean, nobody really does, right? You have any sense how this might go, how you think it's going to go? What are you personally anticipating?
Well, I'm hoping as it gets hotter that this virus find it hard to survive and, you know, end up becoming a seasonal thing, which will give us a little time to get a hold of it and come up with a vaccine or whatever we need to do. So, I mean, that's the best case scenario to me, that it doesn't pick up momentum but loses momentum. But we got to be ready for everything. You know, everybody got to stay clean. You know, I've been turned into a maid around everything. You know, I'm cleaning, I'm wiping everything down. So that's just the world right now. We got to make the adjustment and do anything we can to ensure the safety of each other.
Ice Cube joining us. What a key point you just made. I've been saying that all day, Cube, that even if you think that it's not a threat to you, even if you feel like you're not vulnerable, stop thinking about you. Great. Hopefully it's not. Think about those around you. Think about your neighborhood. Think about your community. Think about the loved ones. Think about people who are at risk. All right. So I appreciate your thoughts on how the Big Three is handling the virus. I want to shift for a moment and talk about the league itself. It is your fourth season. Your games are scheduled to be broadcast on CBS again. This was a dream that you had a while back. How does it feel then to be entering your fourth season?
It's amazing. You know, I don't even really believe that we've been able to make it this far. You know, the odds of a new league, lasting into its fourth season is very slim. New leagues have tried to penetrate the marketplace and have been rejected and sent away. So for us to have stand power, for us to, respect from the sports industry and the sports fan is huge. Us being on CBS, the prestige of that is something that, you can't really measure. It puts us right in line with the big boys. We feel like we got a big boy sport, and it's only a matter of time before we're going to just be a part of American sports, and people won't even remember the day we came into existence because people just know we're just here.
See, to me, Cube, that's the thing, right? If you're entering your fourth season, I mean, you've already gotten through that first major, major hump or series of humps, and now you're looking to grow and improve, and you're in it for the long term, so you're looking to evolve and grow and improve. One of the changes this season is the ball being bright red, the fireball. What was the thinking that was behind that, and why did you feel like that was an important change?
Well, we actually coined our sport. You know, for the first 3 years, we were saying, hey, we're professional three-on-three basketball. But we're actually not. We're our own sport. If you look at three-on-three and FIBA, it's a very different game than what we're playing. So we leaned into what the kids were calling our game, which is fireball. So we just put a three on it and called our game Fireball 3. So the big three is who we are, and Fireball 3 is what we play. Just like the NBA is the NBA, but they play basketball. So we wanted to lean in, coin our game, and be able to make adjustments and changes without, you know, I guess offending the purists, the basketball purists, who might not like our bring the fire rule, which is a rule that allow players and coaches to challenge one foul per half and go one-on-one for the points. You know, we think it's exciting and new, and we would never do that if we were still trying to represent standard three-on-three. So, you know, Fireball 3 is what we do, and expect us to keep on making, you know, innovations that make the game more competitive and exciting and faster. This year, we're 22 and up, and not, you know, so we're losing the stigma of a retirement league. And so these are things that we feel are pushing us to, you know, that inflection point where this thing starts to roll downhill. And, you know, we're happy to be here, and we're happy to take on all challenges.
Until
what's
then,
cool, too, yeah. You know, not to cut you off, Jim, but what's cool this year, the winning team makes a little more money than the losing team. So the competition is even going to be that much more, you know, sharper and greater.
That incentive always works. Cube, I know you have to bounce. One quick follow, one last thing. And there are other changes as well. Also in terms of eligibility, you're going to have open tryouts, meaning professional basketball experience is no longer required to play in the league. In other words, former NFL tight ends could play in the Big Three league now. What could that mean for your league?
It can open it up. You know, why limit ourselves to you know, professional basketball players or former professional players or whatever you want to call it? You know, we feel like there's, you know, millions of athletes out there. Maybe a few of them can play on this level. Let's give them a try. Maybe it's some guys who play in the NFL that still love basketball. You know, I mean, damn, we see J. Cole and Chris Brown out there playing. Can they play at this level? Who knows? You know, so this open tryout, and it's not going to be a gift. You have to go through the fire. You have to go through our Hall of Fame coaches, our all-star players, and if they bless you with an invitation to the combine, you do your thing in the combine where all the pro athletes are going to be, you might make it on the team. So it's exciting, man.
He's a mogul. He is the co-founder of the Big Three League. Tickets for the 2020 season go on sale tomorrow, and the plan is to go as proceeding or as planned. The first week of the season is scheduled to take place on June 20th. Cube, it's great to have you back. Really appreciate your thoughts. Good luck with that. I know we'll do it again soon.
Much love, much respect, Jim. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Let's go to Illinois. Andrew in Illinois. Nice to have you, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, Rome. I'm doing well. Hey, I am a nurse practitioner that works both in the primary care setting as well as in hospital medicine. And what I want to express to all the listeners is that the concern, as that last email stated, is for those that are going to become critically ill. Outside of just beds, if you start to look at this respiratory disease, think about if we have several people that are 70 plus years old that get it, and we don't have enough ventilators to help ventilate support people. The people that are, you know, stuck without ventilator support are just going to die, are going to pass away. So if we can limit exposure by, you know, obviously closing down these events, things like, well, maybe, you know, the virus slows down somewhat, at least the stress on our healthcare system will be delayed. The virus is going to get around to people. That's not the concern. The concern is the taxing on the healthcare system. And I'm not worried about people, young, healthy people like Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell. They're going to be okay eventually. It's grandma and grandpa or infants and things like that, and if our healthcare system can support it. Just want people to understand that it's not just as simple as wash your hands and, you know, make sure you're not touching your face. When you start to deal with grandma, grandpa, infants, sometimes that's not an option. So wanted to let you know my opinion from a medical, you know, professional. Thanks, Rome. Appreciate it.
Andrew, thank you. Andrew in Illinois. Let's get a telephone call. We go to Sacramento. Tony in Sacramento. Nice to have you, Tony. How are you?
Jimmy, thanks a lot for taking my call. I really appreciate it on this fabulous Thursday. I was talking to Hawk, and I think that it was really well said that this is a reset not only for the sporting community, but I think for all communities that are able to listen to the jungle. The things that are most important, family, being able to be kind, as well as being able to live your life safely, is the most important thing that I think that the jungle and everyone else is noticing. It's not really going to be able to matter what my 401k does because I don't actually get it until I realize it. It doesn't matter what my job does because you know something, we're resilient. What really matters is taking care of each other and being the best you can be. We will get through this, Jimmy. We will be able to do it and we'll look back and say, you know what, we're better together. We're stronger together. And you know something, Jungle Nation will happen. But let's take it out of Jungle Nation. The world will be okay. We just got to be able to take it one day at a time. Get up, get her done, go out there and be able to be your best. Because if you can't do that, man, suck it up, brother. But we're not doing it here in Southtown. Last night was a bummer that we weren't able to be able to see what was going on with the Pelicans. But you know something? They made the right call. And we're actually Mark Cuban for being able to take care of those guys that are actually passing the peanuts and doing the cokes. I hope that.
Let me jump in on there. Sorry about that.
Good night now!